We are blessed with an abundance of good singers and song leaders, aren't we? Memorial service yesterday, we had a hard time getting together a group, and Diana, Tony, and Scott organized one, and they sang beautifully at the memorial service yesterday. Appreciate so much everybody who had a part in the memorial service, doing things and helping us out. That was tremendous of all who were willing to take the time to do that yesterday afternoon. Tonight is Biology 101. And so it is a metamorphosis. We're going to take a look at a word and tell you a little bit about what's going on at our house. I'm going to get some of these facts wrong. Not about what I'm going to say on the screen, much to Terry and Lindsay's chagrin. And I'll explain that a little bit more in a second. But we have a butterfly bush that attracts butterflies. And we were given another bush to put up against the house that we were told the butterflies would really enjoy and like. And they most certainly do. And this is the butterfly, or a kind of the butterfly, that we have predominantly in our yard. It is not the only one, not the only kind, but this is the one that's predominant and the one that I wanted to talk about. And this butterfly is called a Guff fritillary. It is in the southern U.S., common in the southern U.S. and around the Gulf states, and that's what we have in our backyard. And the plant that the butterflies would come to after the butterfly bush is where they lay their eggs. And they lay their eggs, and from those eggs come these caterpillars, or whatever it is you might want to refer to them as. But they were all over this bush. And you learn something as you're watching them. We found some of these caterpillars away from the bush on the sidewalk, and we thought, poor thing, it fell off. And so I would pick them up with a piece of pine straw to try to put them back on the bush. And when I put them back on the bush, they'd fall off again. And then we got to reading and discovered that if they're off the bush, don't move them, don't touch them, because they are already in the process of forming what we sometimes call the cocoon. And the bottom part of their legs won't function anymore. And so they are struggling to get to the place where they're going to go through this transformation. And they don't need your help. And as a matter of fact, your help will hurt them. So we don't have as many butterflies as we had hoped that we would. Because unknown to us, we were trying to help them along a little bit. And then they build this. I'm going to have to look it up again because I got so confused. I've always called it a cocoon, but it's a chrysalis. And in regard to a butterfly, it is a chrysalis. It's not a cocoon. And this was made emphatic to us in our readings. And Terry and Lindsay made it emphatic to me that I was an idiot and I didn't know what I was talking about, that that's a cocoon. And I said, for the uneducated, it's a cocoon. But for the educated, it's a chrysalis. And so these chrysalises are all over the steps going up to our balcony, or to our deck. And they are up around the house, different places. And Jane has actually got to see, I believe, four of the butterflies come out of the chrysalis, and they stand on the chrysalis for about 10, 15 minutes in order to give their wings a chance to dry, and then they fly away. And so from that worm, can I go backwards? Yes. From that worm going through the chrysalis, they come out to the butterfly. And that's called metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. Oh, this is the cycle. The butterfly, the eggs, the larva, the caterpillar, and then the chrysalis, and again the butterfly. And they are already done and ready to migrate. to the south and be back again to start the whole process over next year. And these are our newfound pets. And if you would like to see our pets, we'll be happy to share them with you sometime. Metamorphosis, change of physical form or substance, especially such a change brought about by or as if by supernatural means. And you can most certainly see that in connection with a larva turning into a butterfly. But this word that we have in English, metamorphosis, that we know in English, we understand the definition of it, and we describe it as we watch the change that takes place in the life or in the life cycle of a butterfly, comes from a Greek word. And the Greek word is metamorpho. And even though it's written in Greek letters there, except for the first one, it capitalized the mu, and I just left it capital. But metamorpho is the word, and all our English does is just take the Greek word metamorpho and make metamorphos, and has basically the same pronunciation in everything. The Greek dictionaries define this Greek word with to change into another form, transform. All of our kids who love the Transformer movies and the Transformer toys, that's metamorphosis. And it's metamorpho in the Greek. It means to transform or to change into another form, to change, which is exactly what happens in connection with the butterfly. This word is very important. This word is very significant. We're going to look at the places where it occurs in the New Testament. And I'd like you to take your Bibles and open with me, and let's read them together. And the very first one, which you would imagine would be one of them, is the book of Matthew, chapter 17. Verses 1 through 8. It's in two accounts. It's in Matthew's account and it's in Mark's account. We will not turn and read Mark's account. We'll just read the one from Matthew. And we'll point the word out when we come to it. But Matthew chapter 17, you're going to be very familiar with the account and what happens here. And you will see, yes, that is a metamorphosis, a change. And it occurs with Jesus. Chapter 17 of Matthew, verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was metamorphosed. He was transfigured. He was changed. And what happens to him on the mountain is the Greek word metamorphosis. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. And his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then the cloud overshadowed them. And the voice came out of the cloud that says, this is my beloved son. You listen to him. And they were terrified, and they fell on their faces. And when Jesus told them to get up, they saw no one there but Jesus. And they go down from the mountain. And Jesus says, don't tell anybody what's happened here until after I'm raised from the dead. And Peter talks about it later in the letter that he writes. But this is metamorphosis. And Jesus changed, was metamorphosed on that mount of what we call transfiguration. And he was transformed. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 is not about Jesus. It's about us. And Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, of course it's about Jesus because Jesus is the one that makes it happen. But in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, the Apostle Paul will write this with regard to us. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of all that God has done, because of all that God has provided for us, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. This is the way you honor God and worship him. You die to yourself and live for him. You present yourself as a living sacrifice devoted to him. And do not be conformed to become like. We really need to pay attention to this. Because everything that happens in our world automatically transforms or changes us into being like it. We don't want to be different. We don't want anything about us to be different because we want to be acceptable. And this is the warning that Paul gives to us. Do not be conformed. Do not become like. Do not be conformed to this world, but be metamorphosed. Be transformed. Be changed from the world. Be changed from those that are around you. Be different from those that are around you. Too often we want to talk with the same filthy language. We want to dress in the same way. We want to have the same attitudes, the same thoughts, because we want to be like those that are around us. And here Paul tells us, don't do that, but instead be transformed, be changed. How? By the renewing of your mind. By bringing your mind under the control of God's Word and God's will. And allowing God's Word and God's will and your devotion to Him to change the way you think. To change the attitudes that you have in life. And to change the principles by which you live. And so be transformed or metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove. A couple of different ideas with regard to prove, and both of them are involved in the Greek dictionaries that define the word prove here. It can be the idea of putting it to the test. And I've told you this story before, but one of the things that one of the stories I'm always reminded of with this passage is a friend of mine. We just made contact again on Facebook after about 25 years, just a couple of weeks ago. He was coming back from Vietnam. And in Vietnam, with what he saw and with what he went through, he came back as close to being an atheist as you could be. He wanted nothing more to do with the Bible, nothing more to do with the church, nothing more to do with Christianity. And his dad was a friend of mine preaching in Wisconsin, and I was in Wisconsin at the time. And when he came back, he told me this story when we were working as counselors together at the camp. His dad saw what was going on, and his dad told him, "Son, what I want you to do is to devote yourself to Jesus Christ and what he says for 1 month. I want you to give yourself totally to being what Jesus would have you to be for 1 month. And if at the end of that month, you're of the same persuasion that you are now, I will quit preaching." And that shocked the son because his dad had been preacher all of the son's life. And he decided he would put his dad to the test. And so he said, "I will give it a month." And he's still living it. He never changed. And the idea of proving it. You change your mind and you live like Christ does, and you will prove it. But not only to yourself, you will demonstrate it to others. And you will show it to others. You will show the will of God that is good and acceptable and perfect. You will so show life as it ought to be lived if you transform yourself. Metamorphose your mind. Change it. Not to be like the world around you, but change it to be like Christ. And it will have an impact not only on you, but in the world in which you live. And so Paul tells us, be metamorphosed. Change from the world around you and become like the image of Christ, which is what he says here. It's in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Starts with verse 12, and we'll read down a few verses down to verse 18 because I want to give you the whole context. And again, it's the word metamorphosis that is used. And again, Paul is describing for us how that takes place, how that happens. He says it in what appears to be a different way, but it's the same thing that he said in Romans 12. And we accomplish it in the same way that he talked about in Romans 12. The word and the will of God changes who you are, changes your mind, metamorphoses you. It changes you. And here, Paul describes it a little better. In chapter 3, he is talking about the fact that he is a minister of the new covenant. And so he compares the glory of the old covenant with the glory of the new covenant. And in essence, he says, there is no comparison. That while the old covenant had glory, the new covenant has so much more glory. And he's talking about this comparison through chapter 3, and we come to verse 12, and he says this. Therefore, having such a hope that is more glorious than the old covenant, but having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, because God is behind his word, and we speak everything that he has said without shame and without hesitation. We have great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened. For until this very day at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it's removed in Christ. They're reading the Old Testament, the Old Covenant with a veil, but they're not seeing Jesus. And when they see Jesus, that veil is removed, and they understand not only Jesus and the New Covenant, but they also understand the Old Covenant. And he says this, verse 15, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. That's why the Jews aren't coming to Christ. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you know how freeing it is? I remember being set free. Simply to follow Jesus. Being set free from everything that I had been told all my life I needed to do. And to come to an understanding, there's nobody between me and God but Jesus. And the only one I need to listen to is Jesus. And when I listen to Jesus, he sets me free from so many different shackles with myself and with others. And he sets me free to be his. That's when you're free. Then the next verse. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being metamorphosed. We are being changed. We are being transformed into the same image. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Jesus is the Spirit. Jesus is the Word. And when we look at him and behold him with the veil taken off, and we behold him and we focus on him, we are changed into the image that we are beholding. We are metamorphosed into the image that we are beholding. See why it's so important to look at the Bible and read it to find Jesus and to see Jesus. And not to think that he's something that you conjure up in your own mind, that he's whatever you think he is, but that we focus on his word and we focus on him. And we see his image given to us in his word. And as we focus on that image, we are metamorphosed into the likeness of this image that we are beholding, which is exactly what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, metamorphosis. There's another word, and I want to close our lesson tonight by looking at the other word. It's in the book of 1 Corinthians, and it's chapter 15. And I want you to read with me. We're going to read a few verses. I'm going to point out the word to you. You'll recognize it. But I want to say just a word about it, and we'll go on. This is Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, writing to the church at Corinth about the resurrection. And he has a great deal to say about the resurrection in all of chapter 15. We're not going to take the time to look at all of it. We're just going to look at the end, starting in verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. There's that word change. And you would think metamorphosis, but it's not. In this particular verse, it is not metamorphosis. And this particular verse is the Greek word alasso. And the Greek word alasso means to make something other than it is. To exchange for something. To change, but not in the sense of just looking different on the outside. It is a change where something is made other than it is. And Paul explains that as we continue to read. For this perishable must put on the imperishable. It is not imperishable, but it will change into something that is not, and it will become imperishable. And this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. The glory we have waiting for us, those of us who are in Christ, not a metamorphosis, but an alasso, a change into something other than what we are. The perishable being done away and the imperishable given. The mortal being done away and immortality given. The word immortality is sometimes translated in the Greek dictionaries as deathless. Deathless. No death. And we become immortal through our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, we are metamorphosed by beholding him and coming into his likeness and coming into his image. And to think that before the world was ever made, on the day that God made the bugs, he made a butterfly because he wanted us to understand a word. He wanted us to understand an idea, a principle that would become so very vital and so very important for us. And so it gave us a butterfly. Are you in Christ? Do you need to come home to Christ? We invite you to come as together we stand and as we sing.